Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Do you need heavy equipment or farm equipment? Look no further than Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel. We have a wide selection of new and used equipment from many top brands. We also offer parts, service, and rentals. Whether you're a contractor, farmer, or just need help around the house, we have what you need. Southern Equipment is your one-stop shop for all farm and heavy equipment. Visit us at 5237 Highway 84 West and southernequipparts.com or call 601-651-4555.
Four free record on my count. Seven, six, five, four, three, two. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Well, happy Monday afternoon. Welcome to the Monday edition of the Eagle Hour. Bob Getty and Kelly Sander. We're in the First Bank studio here in Hattiesburg. Heath Hinton from Big Gold Nation about to join us. Luke will be joining us a little later in the program as well. Also, Picasso Nelson, a former cornerback and NFL player, also on the Eagle Hour today. Looking forward to all of that. Opening segment sponsored by Dickie's Barbecue Pit, proud supporters of the Eagle Hour, and a great place for you to call this week if you want to cater a homecoming tailgate. They can fix you up no matter the size of your party, and we guarantee you'll like it. Dickie's Barbecue, serving delicious fresh food 7 days a week. Heath Hinton from Big Gold Nation joining Kelly and I. We're in the First Bank studio here in Hattiesburg. Heath, another tough loss Saturday night. We got introduced to a young man named Jake Lang that I don't think anyone knew about. He threw for 304 yards, but also three interceptions. And the Golden Eagles suffer another bitter defeat, this time the second in a row to the Rice Owls. And Heath, right now, you got a strain to find some optimism. Is that a fair statement?
I think it's a very fair statement. I mean, even Coach Hall, after the game, talked about how, you know, the team's at rock bottom right now. I don't think it, you know, they're looking at it from that aspect. Coach Hall, he has success wherever he's been. He's not having it here right now. So many things have happened to this team. I mean, think about it, the past year. They're on their fourth coach and fifth quarterback in a year's time. That is so much for a team to have to deal with. Not only that, injuries, different things, throw in COVID, which everybody's had to deal with it. Injuries. It's been a wild ride at Southern Miss for the past, 14 months. And it's just going to take time. It's not going to be a switch. It's going to be able to be turned on and things will happen. It's going to take baby steps instead of regular steps. I think it will get better, but right now it's tough.
Kelly Sander, the Golden Eagles are 4-11 in their last 15 games. Where do you find the optimism after what you watched Saturday night?
Well, you've had to deal with all of this, like Heath just mentioned. But again, let's go back just a little bit. We've talked about this on the show before. Some of this has to be laid at the feet of Jay Hobson. All right, that the recruiting. You know, Will Hall is trying to serve a Hollywood Academy Award dinner with bologna sandwiches, essentially. Okay, the talent level is not where they want it to be. Now, Jay Hobson at least resigned. There was another coach who didn't resign. Mm-hmm. He was fired, and Southern Miss had to keep paying him. You know, it's a weird world to where you can be really bad at your job and still get paid for years afterwards. You know, I know at Super Talk it doesn't work that way. I know in a lot of private sector worlds, it doesn't work that way. But then you throw in all of the curveballs that they've had to hit, including injuries. They just haven't caught any kinds of breaks.
Right. Here's what I think. I think there are a lot of problems, Heath, but here's what I, from a fan's perspective, I think is the core problem. And that is the really just the ineffective offensive line. 27 rushing attempts, 57 yards against a team the week previous had given up over 200 yards rushing.
Yeah, it wasn't. And look, they did give up five sacks, too, and I think there was about 40 yards, negative yards rushing. Frank Gore had 80 yards rushing. So there was some good runs at times. Southern Miss completed some passes, and you kind of saw that box loosen up a little bit. They were able to get a few runs in there. But, yeah, the offensive line, the sacks, it's not good. You're on your third quarterback now. It is what it is. Something's got to get better there.
Yeah.
Of course, not having Arvin Fletcher, the senior center in, that could be, you know, having to move people around. That hurts things, too. Not that it was great before he went out, but at least Alabama, even when he was out, they only gave up two sacks that game. I mean, yeah, the offensive line has not played well, and you thought they would because they finished the season. You remember that FAU game. They played extremely well. And you had pretty much everybody back off of that line this year.
So in the,
it just hasn't turned over into good play this year.
So in the quarterback department, Heath, of course, everybody was, I think even some of the players were surprised to see that Jake Lang was the guy. Going into the season, there was little dispute that Trey Lowe was going to be the guy and that Ty Keyes and T. Webb were battling for 2 and 3 on the depth chart. Now you don't hear T. Webb's name hardly at all. What do we make of that situation at this point?
Well, you know, in fall camp, one of the things Coach Hall was saying about T. Webb was he was holding on the ball too long and didn't want to pull the trigger. And I guess, you know, when he talked about Jake Lane, he said he's just been getting better, better and better every week. I spoke to a former coach of his, and he said that guy is a film rat. He gets in there. You won't outwork him, and he's smart. And, look, those attributes will move you up the depth chart, and obviously has. All in all, considering Jake Lane did not play bad in that game, considering he was the four-stringer this year, running scout team, and now he's starting within the matter of 2 weeks of that. I mean, he did not play bad at all, considering.
No, but really, and Will Hall even said in the postgame press conference, he mentioned it three or four times, this is not rocket science. You can't turn it over four times and not get any turnovers from the other team in a game that was pretty much a toss-up game to begin with, if you believe the prognosticators. Four turnovers are going to kill you, and I don't care what level you're playing at.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You just can't turn the ball over, and you can't throw some of those passes. I mean, he didn't mind letting the passes go. I think ended up passing, 34, 35 times in the game. Surprising that they threw that much, but considering the running game, not really surprising. Well, right now, their backs are against the wall. It's going to be interesting to see what they do this week, see what the situation with Ty is. I know after the game he was on crutches, supposedly, so we'll find out more about that tomorrow. But, man, they're in a hole right now, and how they get out, that's anybody's guess.
Jake Lang was 23 of 37, 304 yards, one touchdown, three interceptions. So, no, I mean, you put the kid in there unexpectedly. He played pretty well. I was kind of pleased that they continued to try to throw the ball and not go into a shell because I do, honestly, and I say this with all due respect, I don't think they can run the ball against anybody.
And what further complicates things is when you turn it over four times, who has to go back out on the field?
Right.
The defense,
right.
All right? The defense, as a whole, has generally been the bright spot of this team this year. But they're being overworked. They're being overtaxed because the offense can't you know, deliver long, sustaining drives, which gives, you know, them a break. So, and the offensive side of the ball has been more banged up, but you're hoping, you know, for goodness sakes, you hope that nobody goes down on that defensive side of the ball, or you're really up a well-known creek.
All right, well, Heath,
they also scored 14 points off of two turnovers too. Rice did.
Yeah.
So when you put your defense at disadvantage, things like that happen. That's what happened. You're right.
All right, upcoming 4-1 UTEP. Let me repeat that. 4-1 UTEP coming in, then 3-2 UAB, and we know UAB is probably better than the 3-2 record. About 40 seconds left, Heath. Something's got to change, or we could very well be looking at 1-6.
Yeah, I mean, anybody would have thought this year at this game that Southern Miss would be 1-4 and UTEP would be 4-1. The roles are reversed. It's a head scratcher. UTEP, look, they're a good football team. It's going to take everything from Southern Miss to win that game. It's homecoming. You hope with a week to prepare, Jake Lane is going to come in and play better football. You think he will. But we'll see. Also, Ty Keyes, will he play? Will he not play? So much considered right now. So much this team is going through. One thing's for sure, when they finally get this thing turned around, this will be a battle-tested football team. There's no question about that.
All right, Heath, we appreciate your input. Heath Hinton from Big Gold Nation. You need to check out that website. Great way to keep up with Southern Miss athletics.
And, Bob, as we go into break, I just want to ask my Ole Miss friends, what am I supposed to do with all this extra popcorn?
That didn't work out well, did it?
Not at all.
We'll find Luke and bring him on the show next.
Southern Miss to the top.
Campus Bookmart, campusbookmart.net. That's the place to go before homecoming this weekend. They'll have a great selection of homecoming apparel for you to choose from. Miss Kathleen is just wonderful, and her staff is very helpful. They're located on Hardy Street right across from the campus. Also, you can shop online at campusbookmart.net. Around the league this weekend, Illinois defeated Charlotte 24-14. Florida Atlantic beat Florida International 58-21. North Carolina State beat Louisiana Tech 34-27. Texas San Antonio over UNLV 24-17. Middle Tennessee upsets Marshall 34-28. Liberty beats UAB handedly 36-12. Michigan State handles Western Kentucky 48-31. UTEP beats Old Dominion 28-21. And Luke Johnson, UTEP comes to the Rock this weekend flying high. 4-1 against the Eagles, who are reeling in the opposite direction at 1-4.
Yeah, it's tough, man. What was interesting was, as bad as you play Saturday and you have a pretty heroic performance from a guy that was your scout team quarterback on Tuesday, you still had an opportunity to win the game, and that might speak to how both tough it's been for Southern Miss and how bad Rice is. But, yeah, they, UTEP 4-1. And I mentioned last week on the show that the offensive coordinator for UTEP, a guy that Southern Miss fans might remember, Dave Warner, who was a wide receiver coach under Jeff Bauer when I played there. He's been at Michigan State the last several years, and I think Kelly mentioned how Dana Dimble may be on the hot seat this year out at UTEP. So he brought in a guy with extensive history of putting up great offensive numbers, and UTEP's 4-1.
They are 4-1, but and Bob, we'll have to look up the UTEP schedule because it is about as cream puff as I have ever seen.
Well,
and I mean when they've played both New Mexico schools, both of them stink to high heaven. All right, they do have four wins. Old Dominion is not very good. Okay, they're going to finish last in their division. All right, on the other side of Conference USA. So I'm just saying, UTEP is 4-1, and we've talked about how winning breeds confidence, but they haven't played very strong a schedule at all.
Yeah, but I don't think we're in a position to criticize anybody's schedule that's 4-1.
I think we've played some better teams than UTEP has, but UTEP has won some games,
right.
and they need to. You know, they really need to.
Luke Johnson, 57 yards rushing, 27 attempts against a team that you pointed out to me Saturday night, who the previous week had given up over 220 yards rushing to a SWAC team. Did I get that right?
Rice, I'm not sure the exact numbers, but what Rice was giving up over 230 a game. I think it was like 232 a game going in. That's the biggest number that troubles me, is that and among the Southern Miss chatterboards, there's been, you know, some questions. You can't ever please Southern Miss fans, and we've been wanting to see more of a vertical attack, and we saw more of a downfield attack Saturday, and then, you know, people criticizing some of the play calling going too deep. I felt like this was a game where we could try to establish the run, because you got a team coming in that's giving up, you know, averaging, giving up like 230 a game. And so I'm not sure so much if the 57, it may just be a mixture of we were trying to go more vertical on them or deep on them, and it could just be the other fact, combine that with that we just can't run the football. I mean, we just cannot run the football. And how shameful that is when you have a back of the quality of Frank Gore Jr. But let's be honest, too, when Ty Keyes leaves the game, a small playbook becomes even smaller, which, again, I would think would lend itself to more of a running attack. It just was bad. Bad all around.
Jake Lang threw the ball 37 times. That was a bit of a surprise to me. You know, you can't lay the lack of a running game at the feet of Frank Gore Jr., because if you watch the games, and I know you do, Frank Gore Jr. takes about two steps, and he's throwing big bodies off of his back trying to get up the field. The problem clearly lies, running-wise, Luke, with the offensive line. There's just no sugarcoating.
And what's really frustrating about it is they were highlighted as an experienced group coming into this year. And, you know, just you wonder, were we good at all across the front? And these were some of the, you know, most experienced guys we had. I feel good about Arvin Fletcher. I don't think he played Saturday night. I mean, that's a guy who is a good offensive lineman. But you wonder sometimes when these guys put on weight, especially some guys on the outside of the tackles, they're too slow. I mean, we got sacked five times. Some of that was with Lang. I get that. But, you know, you get sacked twice against Bama, and you get sacked five times against Rice. So in the last 3 weeks, Southern Miss's quarterbacks have been sacked 15 times. That's just too many.
Wow. But, you know, they do, in all honesty. And again, you know, we call it like we see it on this show. But, Kelly Sander, to what Luke said, the offensive line does look big and slow, and in all honesty, some of them look out of shape.
Well, the problem, too, is compounded by the fact you have an inexperienced quarterback. So what's the one weapon you'd want to, when you put in an inexperienced quarterback, what type of play would you normally call to take the pressure off of him?
I'd run the football.
Run the football. Exactly. You know, to try to give this let this kid settle down, get his nerves, you know, where they need to be. But that apparently is not an option. If you're going to be effective whatsoever. And remember, Rice is not Georgia.
Thank God.
Rice ain't Georgia State either.
No. So,
Georgia.
Rice might be Georgia Southern, but they're not Georgia or Georgia State.
And at this point, you know, again, being realistic, at this point, you know, you don't... A conference championship is nowhere to be found here. All right, so
you think?
I mean, at this point,
I'm wondering about it. And again, I'm saying this as I laugh and try not to cry. I'm wondering if a conference win, and I'm not giving up on them. I mean, nobody needs to hear that. Nobody needs to hear us being honest and you know, shooting it straight and feeling like we're ripping coaches or kids. We're just being honest here. I felt good about Middle Tennessee until they beat Marshall.
Me too.
So let's be honest, guys. Yeah. Let's look at the rest of the slate. Who can we beat other than FIU?
I was going to say
the way that we're playing. Like, who can we beat?
We can beat UTEP. We can beat UTEP this weekend. It could happen. but FIU is an absolute mess. So yeah, when you look at the Massies this week, there's 130 teams that play Division I football. They've got Southern Miss at 124. Guess who's 125?
FIU.
Yes, that's right.
So, look, the Golden Eagles, and I hate to belabor this point, but the Golden Eagles have won four of their last 15 games. What is it going to take to get this skid stopped and turned around?
Time. I mean, I feel just as strong about Will Hall as I did when the day they hired him.
I do too.
I believe he's the guy. I believe he's going to do great. I believe that what was good for me to see. I remember one time, guys, we got beat on Friday night at Memphis, and we were supposed to win. It was in 2004. We were ranked that season, and I just saw the dejection on Coach Bauer's face. We were in the locker room, and he was me and him, a couple more guys, and you know, I just walked up to him and just encouraged him, and it was just one of those moments where I saw how much it hurt. Man, watching Will Hall in the press conference Saturday, man, that dude is hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, he's hurt. And I think he may be shell-shocked a little bit. He talked about how he gave it his all. And, you know, when you give it your all and you don't see results. And I still feel confident he's going to do a great job. I just think he's seeing personnel-wise, we don't fit, you know, what he's trying to implement. And so with what we have up front, we can't run a power spread. And maybe, you know, he thought, okay, especially when the change at quarterback, we're just going to have to air it out a lot more. And that may be what we see going forward, because if you only run for 50 yards against a team that's giving up 230, you got problems.
Kelly, I told Luke Saturday night, I think you have to give Coach Hall 3 years. I think three solid years, one, before you make any judgments, and two, I'm just going to say it like I see it. This is not a very talented football team. There's just not a lot of talent on the team.
Which is what I said earlier. It falls in the lap of Jay Hobson.
Right.
You know, he and his staff have to take responsibility for some of that. And I 100% echo what Luke just said. I'm as big a Will Hall fan now as I was, you know, when they hired him. I do think he's the answer. But again, you're trying to make chicken salad.
Mm-hmm. I learned many years ago, obviously, in a much different sport, much less environment, but a big part of being seen as a really good coach is to have really good players. It's amazing how good players make you look good coaching.
Which is why they go out and try to get these good players, you know, to come in. Because
in every sport, really good players helps.
let's be honest. I mean, there is talent on this roster. There's talent on this roster. I mean, look at – we played good enough Saturday defensively to win. But you turn the ball over four times and you give people the short end, the short field, and you're just going to get beat. And, I mean, you know, it was good to see some of the receivers. Man, I'm thrilled to death to have Chandler Pittman in Hattiesburg. I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
That cat's special. He is. And, you know, with some of the other guys we got, I think Lang was thrown into an unfortunate situation. I mean, he made the best of it. I think that game probably will change a little if Ty Keyes is in there, because you'll see him be able to, you know, make plays on the fly a little more. But, yeah, and I think there are players on this roster, but as a whole, when you're not getting it done up front, you can't really get it done anywhere.
All right, Luke Johnson, everybody. Luke will be back on the show tomorrow. Picasso Nelson, that's a familiar name, a very good Southern Miss football player. He's up next on the Eagle Hour. Stay with us.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
You know what you hear us talk about it every day. Best plate lunch in Hattiesburg is at 4th Street Bar and Grill, $8.95. And it's always filling, always delicious. I do a variety of food every day. And Kelly Sander, best lunch in Hattiesburg.
It is. And a lot of Southern Miss fans, young and old, will gather there to pregame, you know, before baseball games, basketball games. You know, a chance to rub elbows with some people that you don't see very often, but always have that black and gold blood running through their veins. Always at 4th Street.
One of the proudest things about being a Golden Eagle football fan is through the years we've had a lot of young men come through the program that were not only great football players, but outstanding young individuals, outstanding students, just good young people, the kind of folks that you want in your athletic department. Our next guest certainly fits that bill. Picasso Nelson was a standout cornerback for the Golden Eagles from 2014 through 2018, has worked out with the various NFL teams since, made it through to the last cut this year with the Arizona Cardinals, so he keeps that door open. But he's back taking care of other business, and Picasso, it's always great to have you on the Eagle Hour. Kelly asked you during the break, is it any possibility you could exercise the COVID year that you never got back and come give us another year with the Golden Eagles?
Yeah, I definitely will not be able to, you know, do that. I definitely have no more eligibility. So
okay, can't play quarterback one year or something like that, right?
No.
And Bob, I want to tell you something else about Picasso Nelson. Maybe a lot of people don't know this. Not one master's degree, two master's degrees.
Is that right? Well,
absolutely.
No question, an outstanding young man that represented Southern Miss football very, 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 very proudly. And you had some good years, Picasso. When you look back on your career, I'm always curious to ask guys that had such successful college careers, is there a night, an afternoon that really jumps out in your mind when you sit in a, maybe in your recliner in the evenings and think back on your college football playing days?
I mean, you know, for the most part, the games were definitely, are good memories, you know, say whenever we beat Kentucky or whenever we, played at Alabama or versus Mississippi State, you know, those games definitely stand out. But for the most part, it's not so much the actual football play, but the time spent with my teammates and with, other, college friends as well. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely more than anything is, the memories on just spending time with my teammates.
I've heard a lot of athletes say the hardest part about leaving the sport when that day came was mm-hmm. just what you said, not so much the competition and the playing, but the camaraderie in the locker room, the brotherhood of being on a football team.
Absolutely. I mean, it's definitely important to be around, like-minded people who share a common passion. So a lot of times whenever, guys are finally done playing football, they don't have, that. But for me, I definitely, still stay in contact with a lot of my teammates from college and a good amount of my teammates from college. We talk often because we share similar passions outside of football, which is, entrepreneurship. So we, definitely stay in contact.
Kelly, what you said about Picasso is that this young man has two more master's degrees than you and I combined.
You're breaking up, Bob. Your signal's real bad. I didn't hear that last question. But Picasso, you come from a football pedigree. Your dad was quite a football player at Hattiesburg High School, and then went on to Jackson State, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. Had a good career at JSU. Then your years at Southern Miss. So you're also very grounded in your faith. If you could at one time get these current football players at Southern Miss together with what they're struggling with right now, what would you tell them?
I mean, for the most part, you just have to – well, first of all, whenever I first got to Southern Miss, my freshman year, we went 3-9. So, we were not very good, but, we had a young team, and, the younger players, including myself, we had a certain passion about us and a certain drive that, was that, even though we're not very good right now, we're working towards being really good. And so even that year, we stayed after practice every day, 10, 15 minutes just to work on, getting better. We watched an extra film. And in the off season, we made sure that we were doing the things that we needed to do to improve. So, I mean, for them, I would just say, stay positive, continue to work, and just focus on continuous improvement,
All right. Conversely, then, what would you tell Southern Miss fans in this fast food generation that you can get a complete meal served to you in about 30 seconds? What would you tell the fan base who really wants to have things good right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, nothing happens overnight, So when a new coaching staff comes in, they have to not only, get familiar with the players, but the players have to, trust the coaches. And, it takes time, so as long as, the coaches are doing their very best and listening to the players and pushing the players, and as long as the players are, giving 100% effort, then the winning would definitely come. But, good things take time.
And I want to talk to you, too, about you talking about your passion for entrepreneurship. You're getting to be quite the real estate mogul in the Hattiesburg area. Tell us what's going on with you.
So my dad and I are partners, and we own a real estate company. And what we generally do is, have rental properties and we also, have flips as well. But for the most part, we're learning more, and as we learn more, we'll be able to do more. So definitely, you know, stay on the lookout for us. We're definitely, you know, trying to improve every day, and as we improve, we'll, you know, buy more and you know, have more properties for sure.
Now, I got to ask you this, Picasso, because when you rent these places, you're not allowed to discriminate.
Absolutely. Right?
So would you rent to an Ole Miss fan?
Absolutely. Absolutely. As long as, you know, they pay their rent on time.
Right. And a little bigger deposit.
Yeah, yeah.
A little bigger deposit, right?
And probably a little bigger rent, too, yeah. You know.
Picasso, what do you have two master's degrees in?
So my first master's is in business, and my second master's is in teaching. So what happened, so going into my last year, I was injured, and I got a medical red shirt with me missing my fourth year of college. It gave me one more year of football eligibility and one more year of scholarship. So my fifth year of college, I entered the MBA program. It was a two-year program. I finished it in 1 year. So once I finished my last college football season, I graduated with my master's in business. And following that, I entered the alternate program and got my master's in teaching. So
yeah.
I was 23 with two master's
degrees. Well, Kelly didn't mention this to me before. You're clearly too smart to ever be back on this program, Picasso. So we want to go ahead now and thank you for the time.
But, Bob, I just want to go on the record as saying this all works out because he's got two master's degrees in 6 years. I don't have a bachelor's in seven. So it all kind of
evened out,
yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it all kind of evened out.
And Picasso, your last team, I really thought the Cardinals made a big mistake personally not signing you to at least their practice squad because I thought you had a really good preseason. But those boys went to L.A. yesterday and put it on those Rams. A Super Bowl ring, maybe headed to the desert? What do you think?
I mean, I definitely hope so. You know, the team is definitely filled with a lot of good guys, a lot of good players. So, you know, I definitely wish those guys, you know, nothing but the very best for sure.
Well, that's a great experience that you've had, though, with these NFL teams. What would you say is the single biggest difference in playing in an NFL game and a college game, Picasso?
I mean, more than anything, it's just, you know, it's the quickness of the game.
Speed,
The attention to detail. You know, as humans, we can only run so fast. So for the most part, you know, most guys are going to run anywhere from 4.3 to, you know, 4.5 as far as skilled players. But it's the efficient footwork, the great hand placement, the anticipation of breaks, you know, things like that that makes the game a bit faster. And I was actually having this conversation with my dad a few weeks back, and I was telling him that I was watching a college football game, and the game looked extremely slow. Just because, you know, I've been so used to just watching NFL films. So,
Well, I've heard players say that that played in the league like you that, you know, when you're playing college football, depending on what team you play, they may have three or four. In the case of Alabama, maybe they've got 9 or 10 real studs on the field. But in the NFL, everybody on the field is a stud.
For sure.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Well, Picasso, before we let you go, if you had a direct shot at Tom Brady, tell me you wouldn't knock him out.
I mean, I would definitely get him on the ground, but, you know, I would not, you know, try to hurt a legend like, you know, Tom.
Please. Look, we've got 30 seconds left. Explain to Kelly that Tom Brady is the GOAT. He is the greatest of all time. Go ahead.
I mean, Tom Brady is definitely an amazing quarterback. I think his resume speaks for himself. I mean, he's a winner. And, you know, no matter who you are, I think it's hard not to respect someone that plays at that caliber. You know, you're in and you're out.
Kelly, this is coming from a man with two master's degrees. Now, you listen to what he just told you.
All right. The prosecution rests. All right.
Picasso, great conversation. You're welcome on our show anytime, young man. And
you
keep up the great work in your life. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Will do.
All right.
Thank
Picasso
you.
Nelson. What an impressive young man is that, Kelly.
Yeah, he needs to be smacked. Two master's degrees. Why not rub our nose in it, right?
And a four-year college football starter. Just throw that in.
Oh, yeah, there's that. Yeah, there's that.
We'll be back.
Yeah. Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
D1, DBAT, that's a place to go for athletic training here in the Pine Belt. They're on Hardy Street. They've got a beautiful state-of-the-art facility. They have training for everyone from kids to adults, every sport, great staff, expert trainers, tremendous facilities. And there's really no better place to go for athletic training than D1 and DBAT. All right, I want to thank Picasso Nelson and Heath Hinton for coming on the show. I feel completely stupid and dumb after visiting with Picasso Nelson. I don't know that I've ever met anyone that has two master's degrees, Kelly. Certainly not you.
Well, I'm going to see a master's degree.
Tell them your experience in algebra you were explaining to me in college.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just never really thought, I mean, this is terrible to say, but I just was not big on education, right? I was big on the extracurricular stuff, right? And the algebra teacher asked me the difference between 3/4 and 7/8. She said, what's the difference? I said, exactly.
What's the difference?
Who cares? You know, next question. When is class out?
Oh, you know, man. Picasso Nelson, what a story. And you said an outstanding high school athlete.
Yeah, played here at Oak Grove, has a state championship ring from 2014. Well, it was class of 14. They won it in the fall of 2013. And that year, they also won the state high school baseball championship. Mm-hmm. I think the first 6A school to win both in one academic year.
So. He really exemplifies the term student athlete, doesn't he? He's what, when we hear about student athletes, that you wish they all were. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, but you know, his folks have always been, you know, have always been making sure that things go the way they're supposed to go, and very big on education and very big on accountability and things like that. So, you know, and so he really didn't have a choice. Not like he would have strayed anyway. But I mean, good parenting there, and his dad certainly knows what it's about to have to play high school and college football at the D1 level. So it's great to, and I just wish, and I really think had the Cardinals played that last game with the Saints, the Cardinals would have kept Picasso because he had a great preseason,
right?
You know, up to that point, and he was telling us he was supposed to play three different positions that night against the Saints, you know, which would solidify his spot as being versatile, a guy that could play any one position if there were injuries involved there.
But, all right, before we run out of time, far be it from me to feel sorry for multimillionaires. They live a life that I can't imagine, of course. But I did want to ask you about this, and I pick at you a lot about Tom Brady, but that was a really good game last night between Brady's team and the Patriots. At the end of the game, you know, all the cameras were on Bill Belichick, and he walked out there and he had a brief hug for Brady. But, you know, looking at his face, I just sensed, I don't know, sadness, frustration. And I thought about that last night. Here, you're basically in partnership with a guy for 20 years, and you really have a lot to do with developing him over 20 years and this enormous success. And here you are, you're at the pinnacle of your profession. There must be a little hard feelings about the fact that he left and left you like that.
But it was their decision. It was the Patriots, you know, decision.
Because he wanted a long-term deal. Is that right?
That's my understanding.
And they didn't want to give him the long-term deal.
I'm not a big, like I said, I respect Tom Brady, but I'm not a big fan. So I really haven't followed his career all that much.
But that's the essence of what happened.
I think that's so, and that's where the business part of football, you know, comes in. It's homecoming week on campus this week, Bob, and I wanted to take a minute just to tell everybody, look, you know, regardless of what happened Sunday at Houston, it's a new game Saturday. Weather's supposed to be, you know, sunny. Hopefully, people will avail themselves to come out to the homecoming festivities, and the kids are plugging away. They're still. You mentioned it last week. These are our kids,
right?
And
no
they
doubt.
Chose to come
no
here,
doubt.
And come to the game Saturday.
All right, Lee Roberts on the show tomorrow, but also a really unusual guest that you lined up for us. Tell us, our listeners, about that.
The original. That means the very first Dixie Darling, going back to 1954, I believe. She's 86 years old. She lives in Louisiana now, but with homecoming, coming back, you know, part of the homecoming festivities, all the Dixie Darlings that want to can come back and perform at halftime. And she performed last year. She's thinking of coming up this year.
Right.
But the very first Dixie Darling, who's now 86 years old, she'll be on the show
that's
tomorrow.
That's just awesome. How did you find her?
Well, when we did the preseason you know, talk on the program with the marching band and the mm-hmm. Dixie Darlings, it was mentioned by the sponsor of the Dixie Darlings. And I said, man, that'd be great to get her on the show. And she is just as spry and vigorous as she was back then. You'd never know. Well, she's 86.
Great. We look forward to that.
Yeah.
Also, Friday, a two-hour edition of the Eagle Hour will be broadcasting from Fuzzy's Tacos in Midtown. We're going to have, among many guests, we're going to have Melissa Socher and Scott Berry early on in the show. They're going to announce a major deal that we're involved with on the Eagle Hour, along with Keith Coe Convenience Stores. Coach Berry, of course, is lending a big hand. We're going to be doing something very special for a very special member of the Southern Miss Athletic family, and we're going to make that announcement Friday.
Now, I know you and the lovely Angela, you guys have been married a long time. Did you guys meet in high school?
No.
Okay, you met at...
We met at junior college, basically.
Okay.
At Mississippi Delta. Go ahead, Moorhead.
Do you remember the last homecoming? Did you ever go to homecoming in high school?
Well, sure.
Yeah, do you remember the last date you had?
I do not.
No. I do. I remember mine.
Yeah?
Yeah, Shelley Cordero was my last homecoming. Loved homecoming. So I'm hoping all Southern Miss alumni will come out this weekend.
Ahead. I'm waiting.
Well, she was voted most likely to conceive.
And Southern Miss.
To the top.
I shouldn't ask.
Into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle. Let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.